Good morning, and welcome to the 2011 Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo presented by Retail Online Integration. I'm Joe Keenan, Senior Editor of Retail Online Integration. I'm pleased to welcome you to another great live session, Mobilizing the Cross-Channel Experience, sponsored by Gomez and ZMags. Before we get started, I'd like to point out a few tips on how to make the most of today's live presentation. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help button at the bottom of the console or let us know via the Ask a Question box. Second, make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can see and take part in any interactive portions of today's presentations. To get a PDF version of the slide presentation for future reference, click on the Download Slides button on your console. If you'd like to submit a question to our speakers today, you may do so at any point during this presentation by using the Ask a Question box. I'll do my best to get everyone's questions in the allotted time. If you leave this session at any time or would like to view it again later, you can access the entire presentation from the auditorium and the Retail Marketing Virtual Conference and Expo on-demand environment, which will be open for 3 months beginning on Monday, April 18th. Finally, we encourage you to tweet about this event today. Please use hashtag #RMV11 when doing so. Here today to offer their thoughts and expert advice on how mobile fits in the retailer's cross-channel marketing strategies are John Spencer, Mobile Product Manager, Global Operations at Red Prairie, a provider of inventory, transportation, and workforce solutions to help deliver an increase in retailers' productivity, and Dan Fine, Director of Digital Experience at Target, the retail giant with over 1,750 stores, an e-commerce website, mobile website, and multiple mobile apps. Okay, so to get things started, I'd like to introduce our first topic, mobile devices as a self-service tool for in-store access to information. John, why don't you get started and give us your thoughts on this emerging consumer trend?
Well, thank you very much, Joe. I appreciate the opportunity to speak here. Normally, when we think about mobile commerce, we view it as a function that's outside the store, and that is important, but when we start thinking across the different channels, retailers should really be looking at differentiating the consumer experience by putting the mobile experience in the context of the store. And what we mean there is that the mobile app should really, once a customer is checked in, either through quick response or other location-based services, that we should be showing them inventory that's relevant to that store. And we want to show them the assortment that's utilized in that store, because really if a consumer is using a mobile app in store, then they're looking for products that are specific to that store that's right in front of them. So I'd definitely like to get Dan's opinion on this as well.
Thanks, John. At Target, we know that mobile devices are an integral part of our customers, who we refer to as guests, part of their lives. So we're really looking to provide them with convenient on-the-go mobile solutions that help them make the most out of their shopping experiences while they're in our store. And as John mentioned, we know that the usage in the store is really important. Based on our own customer surveys internally, we know that many of our guests are using mobile while physically in our stores. According to Internet Retailer, 73% of smartphone shoppers actually favor using their smartphone in the stores versus 15% who favor human interaction. It's a little scary, but it's true. So we know that whatever we do deliver, it's critical for it to be a solution for our guests, not just a creation of some new gimmick for the sake of implementing a digital tactic. So some of the things we've done that we have found useful for our guests are by utilizing the smartphone cameras, for example, so that the guests can scan barcodes and start to view item information, read reviews, add information or add products to their lists or to a gift registry, but then actually be able to use the product finders within mobile as well to locate the product that's in the physical store they're in, down to the aisle number, or if for some reason we don't have it in that store, to find it in another local store as well.
Okay. let's move on to our next topic here in the mobile space and look at the role that coupons will play and the opportunity that presents itself for retailers with as far as couponing goes. John, you want to get started?
Sure, yeah. So the thing about mobile couponing is I think we definitely are seeing momentum in the industry around this. So if you consider things like Living Social, Groupon, Foursquare, I think it's definitely obvious that being able to provide coupons to consumers on the mobile device is an area where we can increase our conversion and our sales in store. The thing that I think is most important to remember here is that we'd like to try and leverage our commerce infrastructure to make consumers aware of promotions that are going on that are relevant for them. Some retailers may have as many as 225,000 active promotions at any given time, but if you can present the most five attractive ones to that customer at that point in time that are relevant based upon their past order history, gestures that you've given them in the past, things of that nature, then you're much more likely to, you know, get them to purchase the product at that point in time. Another thing that's interesting here is we believe leveraging the commerce infrastructure can really provide a big payoff because they've traditionally outpaced traditional brick-and-mortar systems due to the kind of shorter deployment times and that sort of thing. So, Dan, what's your perspective on this?
I fully agree. I think in the e-commerce space, we have a history now of a lot more data in order to make offers and coupons relevant to the guest. And as you mentioned, there's so many different places where consumers can find offers, can aggregate them, and those are growing daily, that the ability to make them very relevant and very immediate and accessible is really important. One of the things we're proud of at Target is we were actually the first national retailer to offer scannable mobile coupons that allows the guests to receive offers directly for them on their mobile phone and then have those scanned, scanning a barcode from the phone right at checkout. And that's a way where we can make that experience simpler. Something else we've looked at, you touched on at the beginning, John, that it's both coupons are one thing, but it's broader about loyalty, really thinking about how we can use mobile to drive loyalty. One of the things we've looked at is we have a partnership with Shopkick, which if you're not familiar with Shopkick, it's similar to Foursquare and has the ability to check into places, but it actually then comes with points that you accrue that can be redeemed for real rewards such as gift cards. And that partnership has been great. We were the first and only mass discount retailer to use the Shopkick app, and we're beginning with approximately 240 stores right now across the U.S. And learning a lot about what that means to our guests.
Okay. With all the buzz surrounding the iPad, let's take a look here in our next topic here on what the iPad will mean for retailers' mobile strategies. John, you could start off on this.
Sure, yeah, and that's a great question. I see three primary uses of tablet, and right now I think we can definitely say the iPad is winning this race currently. But I see it being used for sales associates, for managers in store, and for executives that are always on the road. And I think the key here for the tablet devices is you want to consider your high touch and your complex experiences. So one example might be you're trying to sell a customer a 3D TV or an appliance, and the sales associate is really trying to help the customer figure out what they should buy. You've got the opportunity to guide this conversation path with a $10 an hour sales associate to really the best products that are relevant for that customer staying in front of them, and to really ask pertinent questions about that and have the system drill into the products by narrowing down the choices. This can really provide a heightened experience, and it's without a significant cost and training. So you really have a built-in training tool that you can leverage and also provide information to that consumer to help them make a better choice. Dan, what's your opinion here?
Yeah, I think tablets are something that definitely we all want to be watching. The explosion that we will probably see very quickly here is yet to happen, and I think that path is a little uncharted right now, but even while tablet penetration is low, research shows that overall it's moms with children who are really engaging more and more. They're the most likely to own an iPad, actually. And for us at Target, that is really important as moms and families are some of our core guest segments. One thing you touched on, John, I'll highlight as well, is it's really important to respect and understand the differences in tablets versus other forms of mobile. The form factors that they have lend themselves to different types of uses as well. So we're finding that I think this was actually from a Forrester report that the usage for tablets is a lot heavier for playing games and watching videos and viewing pictures, all those sorts of things, which would make sense when you have a bright, vivid screen that's larger. And so what we've done with that is we've actually created our iPad app to be different than our other mobile applications that we have. And I'll put in a small plug at this point that we've recently were nominated for two Webby Awards. So anyone who's listening would love your votes for that, for our iPad app. But what we've done is we've understood what the usability is of an iPad versus other mobile devices and tailored the experience for that. So, for example, our weekly ad that's displayed on our iPad, it functions very differently than if you view our weekly ad online even or via our mobile website. You can flip the pages very similarly to a physical page, but then we can actually, with the iPad and the touch functionality, make it so that the consumer or our guest can drag and drop products straight from the ad right onto a Target weekly shopping list. And we're finding great response and usage from guests in that way.
Before we move on to the next topic, I just wanted to remind everyone that if you'd like to submit a question of our speakers today, you can do so by just accessing and using that Ask a Question box on your console. Moving into besides driving sales and customer engagement with mobile, we're seeing a lot of retailers using mobile as a customer service tool. John, can you speak to this trend?
Absolutely, and I think this is one very important area that we need to really consider the tool of choice here, because if you think about things like doing a price lookup or, you know, looking at inventory positions using some sort of scanning technology, whether that's the camera across like a red laser or whether you're doing kind of an integrated scanning technology using laser scanning, the difference is, you know, pick the right tool for the job. And at the end of the day, the tablet can actually help you out in ways where you're trying to save a sale. So here's an example. You've got a customer who's trying to buy a black polo shirt in large. You don't actually have that in store, but let's say maybe you have it available in your warehouse and you can ship it to their home location or potentially the store for them to come to pick it up. If you try and do that on a smartphone, that's going to be painful and you're not going to get very far. On a tablet, you've got the real estate and the capability of that device that can take you a lot further. So you might actually be able to save the sale of that shirt in that case, whereas previously the customer may have walked out. And the research has shown that if a customer has 2.5 bad experiences in store, they may not return. So you really got to capture that opportunity and seize that moment. So, Dan, I'd love your perspective here as well.
Yeah, I think one thing that both John and I are probably continuing to touch on, which is maybe important just to say, is that regardless if we're on an iPad with the guest or we're on an iPhone or some other mobile device or we're actually in the store with a sales associate, customer service is just that. It's about servicing what the customer is needing at the time and then using the right device for that. And I think it's important to then think first about what customer service means to your organization and what that looks like, and then how can you use different technologies and mobile technology specifically to aid in that. And I think, John, you highlighted a really good use case for how that plays out. One of the things that we've looked at in addition to some of the things I mentioned earlier on, you know, item lookup and product information is with pharmacy, is we found that for the consumers and the guests that are regularly making that trip to the pharmacist, that convenience is really important. And so we've enabled the ability via mobile web to transfer prescriptions, refill prescriptions, set up auto refills anytime and anywhere that they are. And that's an example of where that's a service that digital can solve better than traditional customer service we would put in our store.
Okay. Let's kind of take a step back here with this next topic and look at some of sort of the enablers to get your mobile system, your mobile strategy up and running, some of those back-end systems that a retailer needs to make sure are all in line. John, can you get us started on this?
Absolutely, and this is a great question. The thing we have to keep in mind here is we've got a lot of different options when we think about the back-end systems that are available. You may have order history from your point of sale. You may have labor and sales data coming from your point of sale or potentially your scheduling system. You may have merchandising data coming from your planning system or your task management system, inventory data from your replenishment system. I mean, the list really just can go on and on. I think the key here is to drive to a single version of business logic and really align that across your customer, your product assortments, and your inventory to get those products in store. And really look at this as an ROI-based decision. Don't try and bring everything together at once, on a mobile platform and a commerce platform. Really look at the services that you can provide that are going to ultimately provide a better customer experience. Because at the end of the day, if we're not providing a better customer experience, then we need to question why we're bringing it to the platform. So, Dan, what's your take on this?
I agree. This is a really important question for everyone to be considering for their organization. Consumer expectation for service now is that it's multi-channel, that we're meeting their needs anytime, anywhere, across devices. Consumers are so connected, and they have multiple devices, and they want an experience that is an experience that crosses all of those. And so if you really want to offer, as we do at Target, a great, seamless, single experience anytime and anywhere, it's hard to achieve that if you don't start to think about building your capabilities from a single point of view. And this is a real opportunity for everyone. We know that guests who purchase across channels, who interact with us in more than just one channel, they spend a lot more than those who interact with us just in one channel. But to deliver this, you really have to think about your back-end systems. So really think through how you can have your content, your data in the back-end systems come from a single point of view and I think, as John put it, from a single set of rules. Then let the front-end experiences be the differentiators, understanding, again, what the difference is between a tablet versus a mobile device and have those be relevant and elegant. And that then lets the customer decide based on where he or she is, based on what they're wanting to do, the best way to access, but then they're accessing the same information. For us at Target, we have a replatforming effort underway and a brand new experience that will launch this fall that will really be a large step for us to allow us that freedom to start to build and innovate and replicate the same experiences across all of our different channels, but first for online for us and really have that same experience as we have in our brick-and-mortar stores.
Another a trending or hot topic when it comes to mobile is QR codes. John, you want to take a look at what kind of role you think QR codes will play in mobile marketing as we go forward here?
Sure. Quick response codes, I think, can be useful in store where you don't have location-based services available potentially. So one idea might be identifying the location in the store the customer's in. So let's say we put a single tag on each category, so something along the lines of TVs, coffee pots, washers, dryers, video games, vacuums. The customer scans a coffee pot. It takes them to a landing page for that, and they can get additional product information and availability. So maybe a single tag to combine the store number, the product category number, and then we only present the inventory that's in stock in front of that customer in that store. So I think one common theme that we're pointing out here is really use this technology, not only mobile technology, quick response technology, really any of it to make a relevant presentation to the customer around what product is available. There are consumer packaged goods companies that are putting these tags on product packaging already, and we have customers that are using these tags today to get specific product information. One thing I will say that I do think worth considering is near-field communication could take over this trend in the next couple of years, so that's something we should consider, especially because it will also be leveraged likely for mobile payment. So I definitely love your opinion here as well.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. The QR codes are a great way to and starting to be used more and more by consumer packaged good companies and other companies too, a great way to connect consumers to information. We're still finding that there's low adoption. Actual adoption rates are still pretty low within consumers. But what we do know is that consumers are using mobile in many ways to be connected to this information. They're hungry for information about products and services. So whether it's QR codes or we've had success with barcodes and text programs or NFC or other things that may come in the future, it's pretty certain that mobile is a great way to help consumers be connected quickly to that rich and robust content and using that as a tool to then connect them to online content is something that you can't accomplish physically in a store. And so I guess there's, I think, a little story still to be written in where things land from an adoption standpoint and from, I guess, what will be standardized. But it's something definitely to be looking at what the right ways to connect consumers to content would be.
With mobile becoming more of a mainstream channel for consumers to engage retailers in, what steps need to be taken, and can we talk a little bit about serving up a consistent brand message via mobile? John, you want to get us started on that?
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, honestly, the thing to keep in mind here is that our message should absolutely be consistent with our brand, but not all channels are created equal. So really analyze what functions you're bringing to bear for the consumer and potentially associates or managers in store, and remember that you do not have to provide every bit of functionality across all channels. So one example I have is taking a credit application. If it's a three-page credit application, you probably do not want to put that on a smartphone because your experience will be terrible. You'll never get through it. So instead, maybe suggest going to an in-store kiosk to fill out the credit app, have the sales associate direct the customer how to fill out the credit app, or even potentially fill it out on a website or potentially a tablet in that case. But I think the thing to keep in mind here is make a decision around what functions you provide on either the smartphone or the tablet based upon the customer experience you're going to get. Because one thing I know for sure, if you get a bad customer experience once, there's a good chance that they're not going to come back to that particular type. So you may not get that credit application filled out if you provide it on the wrong platform. So, Dan, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I think obviously branding is extremely important, and for Target specifically, it's a big part of what we focus on is the brand that we deliver for our guests. And in the digital space, you run the risk of your brand getting diluted because it's easy to create infinite amounts of brand touch points. And so thinking about brand management in digital and mobile specifically is extremely important. And I think, as you mentioned, John, with the example of the credit application, at the end of the day, you want to have a single experience of applying for a credit card for your consumer. But then you want to think about how do you best do that. And, again, on a mobile phone, if it's a three-page, eight-page fine print application, that probably won't be accomplished really well, and you may actually choose to not enable that on a mobile phone if that's going to be a bad experience. So you again want to think about what kind of face to your brand you want to offer to the guest. What we do at Target is we look to apply the same brand principles to all of our different experiences digitally as well as our offline experiences. So this is literally in our marketing and our product content. We look to use the same marketing messages, the same look and feel, as much of the exact same content as makes sense. But then this is also a little bit more qualitative way we look to apply our brand. So if you've been in a Target store, we're well known for our wide aisles, our easy parking spaces, kind of the stylish in-store experience, and we look to replicate that digitally as well from a aspirational and a qualitative standpoint. We really want to make sure that the experiences we have are easy to use, that they're useful, and that they're enjoyable for our consumers.
All right. We've covered some great content so far here. We have some time here for some questions from the audience. So I want to encourage audience members that if you haven't done so already, you can take this opportunity to submit a question to our speakers using the Ask a Question box on your console. First question I have here from an audience member wants to know, and John or Dan, feel free to jump in on this one. Before you take the time and spend the money to develop a mobile app, what percentage of visitors should you have visiting your site from a mobile device before you start entertaining the issue of a mobile app?
This is Dan. I can jump in on that one first. It's a really interesting question, and thank you for asking it. And the reason I say it's interesting is that right now, I think across the board in the U.S., but specifically I can speak for Target, mobile usage is lower than our online usage. And so if you do an ROI analysis, you'll probably invest first on your site before you invest in mobile. What's interesting, though, is that if the trends continue the way that they have been, any analysis that I've read will say that mobile visits for websites will eclipse visits through a computer anywhere between 2013 and 2015. And so that idea of kind of what's the tipping point to invest in mobile becomes an interesting one, where at some point in the near future, the mobile investment might actually be the more advantageous one versus the site. But I think back to the statement that both John and I had made earlier, thinking through how you can have your back-end systems or your data pools in the background start to be the same place that you draw your information from, whether it's for a site or a mobile site or a mobile app, starts to become really important, and that's a way to gain efficiencies and to gain scale. We are finding as I said, that there's a trend shift in where people are accessing accessing websites, that they're starting to do it more through mobile versus computers. But then you get to the apps versus mobile sites conversation as well. And at this point, that really depends. It's different by form factor and by platform. So we're still having a lot more guests access our mobile site versus versus our applications, and we will have more people leverage our mobile application on the iPhone applications versus the Android application. So I think there's a lot of movement here, and I think the thing to think through is where can you invest now that you can then continue to build on that investment into the future.
Okay.
Yeah, this is John, and I couldn't agree more with Dan on this point. I think the race is still being run in terms of what devices are going to win out, whether it's, the iPhone or whether it's the Android. I think iPad is a clear leader right now in the tablet market. But there are research analysts out there who say that might change. I think that race is still being run. And one thing I do know, by 2015, mobile access to commerce across retail will be the platform of choice for the consumer. I mean, even the millennial generation right now, they always consider themselves online. You know, nobody in that generation ever thinks that they're offline, and that's because they're either on their iPhone or on their iPad. They're not sitting down in front of a desk or a computer like the way we used to think about how we access software and have experiences online, so to speak. So I definitely agree that mobile commerce across all channels will be the way of the future. And by 2015, you know, it'll be just kind of the standard way of interacting, you know, with retail and products in our world.
Okay, great. One of our audience members has a question from personal their experience. What advice do you have when your CEO wants all functionality to be available before going live? He mentions he wants to launch his retail pieces first and follow with the niceties later. For example, making it possible to convert sales now, then let customers manage their accounts later. John or Dan, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's okay. If I understood the question correctly, or maybe it was a comment, I don't think you have to launch with everything all at one time. In the digital space, nothing is really the first iteration. Everything is a version of. As the consumer behavior continues to change, as the technology continues to change, as retailers and others leveraging these devices continue to change. I don't know if we're anywhere close to getting to a point of knowing what everything is to need to launch with all at one point. So I think the idea of launching in iterations and not having everything right at the beginning totally makes sense. I think you want to think through back to our discussion a little earlier about branding, what is really critical for your brand and for your consumers that you're looking to address. And those are probably important to lead with so that you don't disappoint. Similar to the store experience, if you get some bad experiences with your brand anywhere, at some point the consumer won't come back to you. I think they're a little bit more forgiving in the digital space, but so you do want to put some thought to it, but it does not have to be fully baked and perfect before you launch it. For Target, our first entry into mobile was a little snow globe, a snow globe app where you could shake it, and this was around holiday, I think 3 years ago or so, and gifts, it would help you find gifts for your loved ones, and that was our first entry, and it was very small and very scaled back, but it not only started to create the internal support we needed in our organization, but it also started to get us understanding that space and started to register with our guests that we were serious about mobile.
Okay. Yeah, and this is John, and I think Dan really hit the nail on the head, and I think the bottom line is you can bring mobile solutions to market, measure the ROI, and then turn on additional functionality with very little incremental cost. And I think that's the key. Once you have access to the back-end systems, turning on additional users or turning on additional functionality, you can do it in very small slices and then measure it and see if you're really getting the value that you expect.
Great. That's some great advice. One of our audience members wants to know from the manufacturer end, what should manufacturers do with their retail sets to ensure a good digital experience in store? Either of you have any thoughts on that?
I think if I understand the question correctly, I guess I'm interpreting it to be what should product manufacturers do to help on the retail side. I think the biggest thing is you're an expert, the manufacturer's an expert on their product more than the retailer is. You know, they've done the research, they know how things are selling across the world if they distribute around the world. They know their product much better than the retailer will. And so I think being able to turn that expertise into accurate information about their product. Making sure that the weights and dimensions that are out there are accurate or making sure that if based on whatever their product is, nutrition information is really important, that that's something that they provide. If it's an electronic device and resolution for a TV is really important, or being able to see what types of plugs are on the back of a Blu-ray player is really important. They're going to know that more than a retailer will, and so the advice I would have to make sure there's a great experience is then to make sure that they're providing that expertise in the content that they provide to a retailer.
Okay. Next question we have from the audience is what holds more value for retailers? Is it mobile apps, mobile campaigns? And they kind of just want some general thoughts on mobile CRM solutions and how they can help retailers.
Sorry, would you mind repeating that question again?
Sure. The audience member wants to know what holds more value for retailers, mobile apps or mobile campaigns, and then kind of a follow-up, thoughts on mobile CRM solutions and how they can help retailers.
I would say, this is Dan, that more value mobile apps versus mobile campaigns, I think they go together, or at least the way we approach it. We do not we've taken kind of a single app approach, so our campaigns happen within our mobile experiences. We do some on our mobile site as well, which is not an app, but we contain them all within the same experience. So I think, again, the idea of if you want to build an ongoing relationship with your consumer, you don't want to add to the noise, I guess, that's out there and just throw another one-off experience into the webosphere. And the more that you can build affinity to your brand is important. And so we've chosen to do that by continuing to build all of our experiences within the same containers, so to speak. So whether it's campaigns or services, et cetera, they all fall in the same experience. As far as CRM, that's a really interesting question. I think there's a lot of discussion right now in the marketplace, both for not only for web, but I think it's starting more right now online on guest data privacy. And I think there's I just read something recently starting to come up for the mobile space there as well. And it's a really interesting thing that we as an industry will need to tackle and be careful that we're respectful with. And as much as we want to be relevant and personalize things for our consumers, that there's some point where there's diminishing return for the consumer there too for having that exposed.
Okay. How about with one of the audience members is asking about mobile and upselling merchandise, and their question is, how do they pay for goods and services because of that? John or Dan, you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick, and then I think Dan will definitely have some good perspective here. But in terms of how we're going to pay for mobile merchandise and you know, being able to upsell, I think the way that we can drive upselling is providing that assortment that's only available in the store currently. Because at the end of the day, if a customer is on a mobile solution that you've provided, they're looking for a product that they expect to be able to pick up in that store. And then also, again, as we talked about earlier, I do think near-field communication could be the way that we support mobile payments in the future, which basically just makes it a much more simple experience in terms of how we pay. Now, there are some security concerns around that if you think about how that would actually work. But in terms of being able to upsell, I think it's all about being able to tailor the assortment that you show to the customer and know kind of based upon their past order history what their preferences are and that sort of thing.
Yeah, upsell is it's an interesting opportunity when you think about mobile. Again, I think I'll start off with something John and I have repeated a few times now, to be conscious of the device that you're on. Upselling just within a website that's on your mobile phone will be difficult. There's only so much real estate, and unlike a website, a full-sized a website on a large computer screen, you can't have a lot of carousels and you know, suggested items and that sort of thing. It just clutters the experience way too much. However, on a tablet, you can do a little bit more of that, and the consumers again use those devices differently. So that's, you know, one thing about upselling is you know, think through the device that you're building an experience on, and whether it's actually conducive to the things that you would do to upsell. But the other aspect of that is to think about using, again, the mobile phone in the store as a way to upsell. One of the things we've done at Target is what we call extended assortments. So when you're in the store and you look at a patio set that you like, there might be three other pieces that we carry in that collection that we actually carry via our digital channels that we don't carry in all of our 1,750-plus stores. And so what we've done is we've enabled the ability to have some great product information about that patio set in the store, but then using your mobile phone, you can then access increased information, and while you're in the store, decide, you know, I want the other two complimentary pieces and purchase them and have them shipped to your home.
Okay. One of the audience members would like to ask a question referring to recommendations and whether they're important right now in the mobile space or personalized content. Does anyone have any thoughts on that area as far as personalized content and product recommendations in the mobile space?
So this is John. I'll just jump in real quick. And again, I think Dan can give us some great real-world experience from Target. But absolutely, I mean, at the end of the day, if you can provide personalized, tailored content based upon a consumer checking in at a given location so you know where they are, you know what products you've got available, and you know based upon their past preferences and past order history, what content to show them, what products to show them, you're much more likely to get them to buy because, you know, you're showing them things that they care about, right? I mean, people are busy today. They don't really want to sift through a world of information to find what they're looking for. They like the idea of having something presented right in front of them that lines up with their natural tendencies and the things that they're really interested in purchasing.
Yeah, I think that the more that we can personalize experiences and making it relevant to the person holding the phone or the tablet, the better. That's one of the things, that's one of the promises of digital is that it can be unique and tailored for every single person. In mobile at this point, I think that there's a little bit of technical constraints for us right now. When we think about a retail environment, the connectivity in any given location is inconsistent, for example. So if you're in one of our retail stores and you're on Verizon versus AT&T, you might have different connectivity there. If you're in different locations in the store, you know, depending on the state you're in, there's different connectivity. And that somewhat right now for us makes us pause on how much do we try to personalize or what sorts of content do we try to push into experience, because whatever we do, we want to have it be a great experience. So I think there's, you know, that this will continue to get better as the technology and the infrastructure continues to get better. But I think without a doubt, the more one can tailor and personalize and make the experience relevant, the better.
Okay. One of our audience members is sort of looking for some recommendations on some resources as far as finding relevant information on implementing mobile apps for their business. Dan, John, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think there's a lot out there. Somewhat, I guess, ironically, you know, go to the web. there's some great blogs out there, as well as they're starting to become some leaders as far as in the development field for applications. I guess it really kind of depends on where the person who asked the question is, where they're located, what would be in the size of their organization, what would be more advantageous. But the app developers are they're connected just like everyone else, and I think there's a lot of information that you can even find online.
Yeah, I think this is John. I think Dan also nailed that. I mean, basically, a lot of the younger and kind of, you know, higher on the technology spectrum developers are absolutely connected all the time. So there's plenty of resources out on the internet that have good best practices that are emerging around mobile development. I will say that it's something that changes quite a bit. So doing, you know, the market research and staying relevant is critical in this field because, you know, the technology is just changing at a pace that's extremely rapid. In terms of other best practices, there's plenty of research guidelines out there from, you know, Forrester and Gartner and, you know, retail world. There's a lot of different takes on where kind of mobile development and mobile technology is going. I'd say definitely just watching the markets is our best indicator right now.
Okay, that's great. We're just about out of time, so I'd like to take this opportunity on behalf of Retail Online Integration to thank everyone again for attending this virtual conference and expo session. I also want to thank our session sponsors, Gomez and ZMags. I encourage all attendees to visit Gomez's booth in our exhibit hall, where you can access its white paper, Five Common Mobile Web Mistakes and How to Fix Them, by clicking the Documents button in its booth. Stop by ZMag's booth as well, where you'll find a couple of its white papers, Strategic Guide for Bringing Content to Mobile Devices, and Merging Mobile Content for Consumers, by clicking on the Resources button. If you're interested in discussing anything that you've heard during the presentation this morning, I encourage you to visit the Networking Lounge to chat live with other session attendees. Please also check out the agenda for the rest of the day today. We have several wonderful sessions lined up and encourage you to visit or view as many as you can. Remember, if you can't watch them live, add them to your briefcase and view at your convenience in the on-demand environment. Thanks again and have a great day, everyone.